She's not here to judge. She's here to report the honest news on healthy living. She's Andrea Donsky, along with Lisa Davis. It's time for Naturally Savvy.
Time for Healthy Steps with Dr. Ginger. We love having her here regularly on Naturally Savvy. Hi, Dr. Ginger.
Well, hello. How are you both today?
We're doing great, and we are so excited. Why don't you jump right in with the first topic?
Well, we're going to just touch on a few things going on with GMOs, because that is a hot topic, I know, for everyone out there who's eating any kind of food, and certainly for Naturally Savvy listeners. And a recent Wall Street Journal article, it's interesting, they kind of put a new kind of twist on your thought process about GMOs, and they're saying GMOs are threatening food security. So it's a food security issue now, and they're talking about how it's threatening food security while offering no solution for places like over in India, the poor over in India. I guess some of these big biotech companies are going over there with their patented, you know, foods to feed to the poor there, but it's not really going as planned. And you know, a lot of these companies, you know, they have genetically modified seeds that are patented, so they make a lot of money on it. And according to some of these articles, you know, they're using every trick in the book to promote genetically modified foods in developing countries and in poor countries under the guise of feeding the poor, when really it's costing a lot of money to do this. And in the end, a lot of these places, it's not even a matter of no food, it's a matter of not being able to distribute the real food that they actually have. And so it's interesting to kind of see the financial and political twistings going on in other countries, kind of, as they're saying, under the guise of, you know, helping the poor. So this whole GMO thing is, to me, it's just a big fiasco, but it's kind of spreading to lots of different countries.
Well, when I was on Windy City Live with Jeffrey Smith, who is the director and author of Genetic Roulette and Seeds of Deception, and he runs the Institute for Responsible Technology, and he really is the guy that talks a lot about and educates people about GMOs. And I remember he was saying when we were on the show that it's just not true that GMOs are feeding the world. So what you're saying is it's true. I mean, according to him, he's saying that the research or the science, I guess, just isn't there, and that's pretty much what you're saying.
Yeah, and then I don't know if you recall, if you follow it that closely, but the GMO golden rice, kind of, they're calling it the golden rice hoax, where they GMO'd this rice to provide more vitamin A, pro-vitamin A, which would be a miracle cure for blindness, you know, for third world countries. But all sorts of things have come out about it, and one of the things was that it was tested, when they did the human test, it was tested on children in China without parental consent, and so now there's all sorts of lawsuits and things. It's just a big disaster. But of course, you know, big drug companies were kind of behind that, and they have a lot of money, you know, to get this stuff going, but they're calling it the GMO golden rice hoax. Something on the horizon, though, that we may very well see in our supermarkets are GMO bananas. Enriched with more vitamins.
I was reading recently, or not too long ago, we did an article on Naturally Savvy about GMO pineapples, and there was an apple just got a non-GMO status. I mean, you know, right now, as it is that, you know, produce is fairly okay, and they're non-GMO, except for certain ones like papaya. And yellow squashes,
yeah,
in terms of vegetables. So there are certain ones that are genetically engineered, but for the most part, right now, produce isn't, which we really needed to stay that way. I mean, GMOs are really scary because, you know, and for those of you who are listening who aren't familiar with what a GMO is, it's really when you're taking the DNA of one thing, generally a food item, and you're splicing it with the DNA of something else. And it's become really well known when it comes to, you know, pesticides that companies are injecting into the actual seed, and then they're growing the seed and they become resistant. So let's say, for example, Roundup, you know, companies are putting the Roundup DNA into the seed, and then they're growing the corn or the soy with the Roundup. And then when the farmers spray these crops are resistant to Roundup. So it's pretty scary stuff when you think about it, that we're eating these foods that are made pretty much from the get-go from from GMOs.
Well, and, you know, our natural clean food is you know, you can kind of look to the future if this continues, is being eradicated and being replaced by lab food. You know, our corn, soy, cottonseed, alfalfa, papaya, canola, sugar beets, so anything with sugar, MSG, all of those things are already in our food that we are eating every day if we're not watching labels. And the whole, you know, it really, the GMO labeling push has really become kind of an unstoppable push, and the aversion to them is growing exponentially. But, you know, these companies have a lot of money, and they are still sneaking these things in. So you really have to read labels, and, you know, they're really pushing to make it so that you don't know when you read, when you look at a label, if something is GMO or not. So we just have to keep pushing as consumers.
We do. Tell us about the next story.
Oh, the next story is something, it's kind of been around for, you know, about 20 years, but it's kind of having a little bit of a resurgence, especially, you know, in relation to lots of healing centers that are dealing with cancers. But about 1995, there was a book that came out called Dressed to Kill, and it was written by two researchers that did all of these studies on the bra-wearing habits of women and the relation to breast cancer. And so they had all sorts of interesting results. You know, women who don't wear bras end up, the ones that they studied, I think they studied about 5,000 women in the study, had the same risk of developing breast cancer as men, which is not that high. The tighter and longer the bra worn, the higher the breast cancer rose. And other doctors have discovered that, one in particular, 90% of fibrocystic breast disease gets improvement when you stop wearing bras or when you lessen the time that you wear bras. And the whole concept behind that, and it sounds like weird, why would a bra cause cancer? Well, you have to think of the anatomy and the physiology of the body. We have lymph nodes all over that area around them in the breast tissue and under the arms. And so the idea that these lymphatic vessels, which are very thin and are extremely sensitive to pressure and are very easily compressed, when you wear a tight bra with underwire and, you know, you're have that constant hard compression right on that area where those nodes are, it stagnates the circulation, the lymphatic drainage, and prevents cleaning out of waste and toxins and cuts the oxygen and fewer nutrients can get in and delivered to cells. And so that's the concept behind it. And I know a lot of healing centers, that's a part of protocol is just with women, especially with breast cancer, is talk about the other options to these, you know, underwire bras and these tight bras around the chest.
Well, I was just going to say that, actually. Ginger, yeah. What I was going to say is I thought the research was around the wired bras versus the non-wired bras. So if you're not wearing wired bras, then it is healthy for you. Obviously, going without a bra is the best, but it's not really realistic for a lot of people. So I know, especially Lisa, I know for you, you can't really walk around, and I can't really walk around without a bra. Not that I'm sitting there looking at you, by the way, Lisa. I just know from what you've told me, yeah, just
no,
so
I'm,
you know.
I'm busty, okay? And if you're busty, it's very uncomfortable to walk around without a bra. Now, I wear a sports bra a lot, right? But for a special occasion, I need a really good
exactly.
bra that's going to do the girls justice.
You know,
lingerie
manufacturers are actually paying attention to this, and they've designed new bras to minimize the lymphatic constriction.
Right.
And so obviously the underwire thing is one thing. But here's another little trick. And this is a trick that's actually utilized by some celebrities, and it's not related to the bra thing, but after pregnancy. You know those I don't know if it's spandex or lycra, like tank tops? Kind of, like the
lycra tank tops,
like utilizing those, and there's ones that aren't that
they're very light.
They're looser. Yeah, and so that gives you the hold and the firmness that you need without the direct pressure and the cutting into, which is what a regular bra would do. And so, and a lot of celebrities after pregnancy use those too to keep their ab muscles kind of a little more toned or trained to be pulled in more. So that's another little trick that they use. But those types of things, just kind of thinking about that.
That's great advice, Dr. Ginger. Yeah. No, great advice. Thank you. We're out of time, unfortunately, but thank you for being on our show today.
Absolutely. I love it. Every week.
Every week. And then if you want to follow Dr. Ginger on Twitter, she's at TheDrGinger. I'm Andrea Donsky along with Lisa Davis. This is Naturally Savvy Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD and at Naturally Savvy. Thanks for listening and stay well.